Amen. Appreciate the song service this morning. Thanks, Sister Amy, Sister Norma for playing for us, Brother Allen for leading the singing. Before I get to my message this morning, I want to do a couple of things. Number one, it's in our bulletin, but last week was Teachers Appreciation Week. And teachers' appreciation for our teachers that are in our school system. But I like to extend that to the teachers that we have in our church and those that teach our Sunday school and our Wednesday night service. So I would just like to ask all of our teachers, those in the school system as well as those in our church and our Sunday school programs, would you please just stand for just a moment? Come on, don't be shy. Now I'd like our assistants to stand as well. Our assistant teachers, would you stand too? We appreciate all the study and all that you do for us. Thank you. Also, I noticed that starting yesterday and through Friday, I believe it is also Nurses Appreciation Week. And I would like to ask all of our nurses, whether active or retired, if they would, to please stand. Come on. Everybody look around and see all of them. We appreciate what they do as well. That covers it all pretty much. We've got those that are dealing with the minds, and then we got those that are taking care of the body, and we appreciate, first of all, the work that goes into the careers, the studying and testing and preparation, and then for the actual work they do. So much appreciated. Any other word before I get into my sermon in Matthew chapter 26? Matthew chapter 26, where I'm going to be reading from this morning. Matthew chapter 26, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 17. And I desire your prayers. As you can see, the table is prepared, and today we will be partaking of the Lord's Supper. And I enjoyed our Sunday school lesson today, and Brother Danny said we'll be taking this, and he said, you know why we take it? And he said, Brother Randy will probably tell us a little later, and I'm going to maybe share a little bit. Hopefully you know already, but maybe today a little bit different thinking along with what we normally think about. And so beginning in verse 17 of Matthew chapter 26, it says, now the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, this is Jesus, go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12. Skip down to verse 26 with me. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and he gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And I'm going to conclude my reading there. My text, I'm just going to take a portion of a verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 and 25. It's another account of the institution of the Lord's Supper. And the phrase that I want to use from there, Jesus said, this do in remembrance of me, each time that they partook of the elements of the Lord's Supper. My thought for the message this morning is what the Lord's Supper should cause us to do. What the Lord's Supper should cause us to do. And as I read, Jesus had instructed the disciples where to go and to make preparations for the Passover celebration. And the Passover, it took place on one night and one meal. But as I read, the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, that was a celebration that continued on for a week. And the people were instructed to remove all of the yeast from their homes in commemoration of their ancestors and their exodus from the delivery of slavery in Egypt. And they did, they left, so there was no time for the dough to rise, so the yeast had to be removed from the houses. And it was also a picture or a symbol of sin that had to be removed out of the house. And you can go to Exodus chapter 12 this coming week if you want, and you can read about everything, the details of what had happened and what took place there. But anyway, as the people gathered for this time of year, there were thousands of people that poured into Jerusalem and from all over to partake of the Passover and of this feast. And this morning as we gather, just as the Passover commemorated and celebrated Israel's deliverance from the slavery of Egypt, I want us to stop and think about what it means to us today. Jesus pictures our deliverance, and he is our deliverance from our bondage of sin. And it was by the blood of the Lamb. And we notice in 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter said in verse 18, he said, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things." He said, corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by the traditions from your fathers. Listen to verse 19, though. "But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." You know, in these biblical times, a slave was redeemed. And what that word meant was that that slave, he was delivered. He was rescued. He was freed. He was saved when someone paid to buy their freedom. Now, brothers and sisters, the Bible tells us that God has redeemed us. And that same definition applies. He has delivered us. He has rescued us. He has freed us. He has saved us from sin. And it wasn't with money, but as the scripture said, it was with the precious blood of his own son. And, you know, we could not escape the penalty of sin on our own. We couldn't change ourselves. We couldn't bring ourselves back into relationship and fellowship with God. Only the life of God's Son could free us. And you know, Jesus, the Lamb of God, he became our Passover. And when we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, we read, it said, "Purge out therefore the old leaven. Purge out the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." And I want us to get this. I want us to understand this. I want us to be able to apply this. You know, there's two reasons why the church, those who make up the church, we got to purge sin out of our lives. And I know that's a concept or a thought. Nobody likes to be reminded that they have sin in their lives. They don't want to be reminded about sins that they have committed. But I want you to notice what the word says. Sin needs to be purged out of our lives. And when we're saved, we know what the scripture says. We become a new creature. We become a new creation, the scripture says, in Christ. And the picture of that is a picture of the Jewish Passover feast. Because the Jewish family, they were required by law to remove leaven out of their house before they were able to celebrate the Passover. And they were even required, if you go back and read, as I mentioned, they were even required to light candles. And they were to light candles so that they could see better. And they were to search under the furniture and on the floors. And they were to search everywhere throughout the house. If there was even a crumb of leaven that had fallen, they needed to find it and they needed to get rid of it. And the purging, the getting rid of the leaven, it was symbolic for those people. They were purging themselves from the corrupting influences of sin that was in their lives. And it was an important thing for them to do. And this verse made the statement. It said, "Ye are unleavened," referring to us, brothers and sisters, today. We are the unleavened, the saved of the church are already unleavened. We're new lumps. As I said, we're new creations, new creatures in Christ. And because of that, the simple truth of it is we're not to run with the world. What that means is we're not supposed to do many of the things, most of the things that the world is involved in today. And, we're not supposed to take this leaven, this old leaven, and bring it back into our lives and bring it back into our families and bring it back into our churches. The child of God, because of salvation and because we're this new creature in Christ, the old sins, the old man, how that's been cast away. And it needs to be cast out of our house and stay out of our houses. So we're not to let those old things creep back into our houses. We're not supposed to let those old things creep back into the family of God, creep back into the church. Jesus, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. And today we need to understand that, you know, this Jewish Passover feast, every family in that time, and I'm just telling you bits and pieces, go back and read it, but they would slay a Passover lamb, and they would take the blood of that lamb and they would put it on the posts of their door, and that symbolized that the family that was in that house, that they believed in God, that they believed in the Word of God, that they believed in the promise that God had made, that when He came by, that that family would be saved and that He would pass over and they would not experience the judgment of God because God saw the blood and they were covered. The Passover lamb of the feast and of the Old Testament, as we read it, it symbolized God's Passover lamb. And that Passover lamb is Jesus Christ. Jesus, our Passover, he is sacrificed for us for all of time. So we got to purge out the leaven. We got to purge out the sin. We got to purge out the corrupting influences that are all around us today. Got to get them out of our lives. Just because I don't see it or somebody else doesn't see it, you're not hidden. It's not hidden. God knows what's going on in lives, and He wants those things purged out of our lives. And if we do that, the blood of Jesus, it'll cover us. It'll cover our house. It'll cover us from the judgments of sin that's going to pass over all. As Jesus gathered together with the apostles for this last Passover, unbeknownst to them, the apostles, the disciples that were gathered there, this was also going to be the first communion, as Jesus instituted what we call today the Lord's Supper, which we're going to celebrate today as well. Brothers and sisters, this is a very special, this is a very humbling time of the year for us. And this is the time that we're coming together. Just like they came together to commemorate and to celebrate the Passover, the Exodus from their bondage in Egypt. You know, when we gather together for this, we do it twice a year. The Bible said as often as you do it in remembrance of Him. It means it could be done more. It could be whatever a church decides. But the point I'm trying to make is as they gathered for their commemoration and celebration from their release from slavery and bondage, every time that we gather together, this is our time of commemoration. This is our time of celebration, to remember that we also have been delivered from bondage. We've been delivered from the bondage of sin if we've been saved by grace through faith. And it's a special time for us to focus on those things. But I also believe this morning, I want to take it just a step further today and say, yes, it's a commemoration and celebration of that. But I think it should also cause us, brothers and sisters, to focus on evangelism. And I want us to see that today as we look at the Scripture. You know, the elements of the Lord's Supper, they have great significance. And, you know, the bread, when we partake of the bread, it is to remind us of the body of Christ. And I think sometimes our minds get very focused. When we hear that word said, we go to a specific place and time in the life of Jesus. But I want us to understand that this reminder of Christ's body, it begins at His birth in Bethlehem as He took a body. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 5, he said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but it said he made himself of no reputation, and he took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Listen to verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and he became obedient unto death, even unto the death of the cross. So you see, Jesus' body, it was the vehicle. It was the means of his earthly ministry. And the scriptures, as we read through the scriptures, they record to us his movements. It records for us the experiences that Jesus had in that fleshly body of man. And we read about his experiences of when he was fatigued, and we read about how he was hungered, and we read about the temptations that the Lord experienced, and we have record after record how he opened his arms up to the needs of those that were hurting, and how he opened his arms up to those that were lost. And in the flesh, in the body, in just a few short years of the ministry of our Lord, he touched, he affected, he changed so many lives. But we know that his purpose, and we know that the mission of his work, it was to do the will of the Father. And the will of the Father for the Lord was that he was in the flesh to be the atonement for sin, for our sin. Brothers and sisters, the body of Jesus, it was bruised and it bled for our redemption. You remember what I said redeemed meant, what redemption is? Our deliverance, our rescue, our restoration, our salvation. The prophet Isaiah, he foretold about the suffering of Jesus. And I encourage you again, read Isaiah chapter 53 for the full account of what I'm talking about. Sounds like I'm giving you homework, doesn't it? There ain't nothing wrong with reading God's Word. There's nothing wrong with letting God's Word speak to you. Nothing wrong with letting God's Word remind you of the promises of God, remind you of the prophecies and the fulfillment of those things. Because in Isaiah chapter 53, it told us how that Jesus, how that he would bear our griefs. It tells us how that he would carry our sorrows, and that how he would be wounded for our transgressions. It told us there how that he would be bruised for our iniquities, our sins. It told us how that he would be oppressed. It told us how he would be afflicted. It told us how that how the chastisement of our peace would be upon him, and how our healing would come through his stripes. Isaiah's prophecy, it happened exactly how God had given it to him to be shared with the people. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 26, it records the scourging of our Savior. It said, "Then released he Barnabas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified." Beginning in verse 29 of that same chapter, it records some more of what our Savior endured. It talked about the cursing. It talked about the spitting. Verse 29, "And when they had platted, put a crown of thorns upon our Lord's head, and in a reed in his right hand, they bowed their knees before him," and it said they mocked our Savior. "And they said, 'Hail, King of the Jews.' And the scripture said they spit on him, and they took the reed and they smote him on the head." Brothers and sisters, communion, the Lord's Supper, as we gather for that, that's why I said this is serious. It's important. It's a reminder to us of the crown of thorns. It's a reminder to us of the nails that they put in his hands and his feet. It's a reminder to us of the crucifixion of Jesus. It's a reminder to us that all of the body, the physical body of Jesus, what he endured for our redemption, so that you and I could be redeemed, we could be saved. We know the price that Jesus paid for our salvation. Brothers and sisters, a few moments ago, I said that communion is remembering about, commemorating and celebrating what Jesus did. But I said I wanted to go one step further and say that it's also about evangelism. So with that thought in mind, I wonder today how many unsaved people this past week, we knew that we were taking this, it was in the bulletin, but I wonder how many people this past week you told of Jesus' love, that you told about the bodily sacrifice of Jesus so that we could be redeemed, so that they could be redeemed. The other element of the Lord's Supper is the cup. And the cup received, which reminds us of the blood of Jesus. Not only did he endure the bodily sufferings, but as the scripture tells us, Jesus shed his blood for us. Verse 28 of my reading said, "The blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." You know, when we read in the Old Testament, we read about all of the sacrifices that were made. And, you know, these Old Testament sacrifices, they were with purpose. They pointed to the cross. They pointed to what Jesus accomplished once and forever for all of humanity. And it said that his blood was for remission. It provided for remission of sins. And the Bible, it repeatedly tells us about the love of God. You know, it tells us that God commended his love toward us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What love that was expressed. And it teaches us that those who are sinners, those who are lost, those who are unsaved, those who have never had an experience of salvation, the Bible is clear, they can be justified by the blood of Jesus. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 9, it says, "Much more then, being now justified," and what that means is declared to be righteous, to be free from sin, "being now justified by his blood," the blood of Jesus, "we shall be saved from wrath," we'll be saved from judgment, we'll be saved from the punishment of sin. How? Through him, through Jesus. We know that those who are unsaved, there is going to be a day of judgment. There's going to be a day of judgment for everyone. God's people will be judged and receive rewards and will enter into that place of promise. Those who are unsaved, we know the Bible says they also will be judged. And they'll stand before a righteous and a just God. And if they haven't put their faith and trust in Jesus, if they've rejected Jesus in their life, there's going to be a day of rejection for them. He'll say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." And be cast into the lake of fire. We call that hell, where there'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, all kinds of other things. But Jesus said they could be justified. As long as we got breath in our body, if you're here today and unsaved, as long as you've got breath in your body in this life, you have an opportunity to be justified by his blood and to be able to be saved from wrath by him, by Jesus. What I'm saying is that his blood, Jesus' blood, it cleanses us from sin completely. I like what's recorded in 1 John chapter 1. It says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another." And listen to this. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, it cleanses us from all sin. Here's the thing. If we say we have no sin, the scripture said we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and he's just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I thank the Lord for that today. And as we partake today of the Lord's Supper, may we be mindful of, may we be reminded of the precious blood of Jesus that redeems sinners. I said earlier the words of Peter from 1 Peter chapter 1. He said, "You're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversations received by the traditions of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Brothers and sisters, this morning as we commemorate, this morning as we celebrate what the Lord did for us, I pray that we will also be mindful of the great commission that the Lord gave to us to tell others about the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, to tell others about how that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. I got so many songs that I like, but, you know, I like the song that says, I'm saved and I know that I am. I'm saved and I know that I am. I'm saved and I know that I am. I'm so glad that I know that I'm saved. I pray that all of you today can sing that same song. I pray that you can make that same profession or testimony of faith because of what the Lord has done for you in your life. And, you know, communion is not just about looking back. Yes, it's to be a remembrance of, a reminder of what the Lord has done for us. But it should also cause us to look forward. It should cause us to think about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ as He promised. He said He was coming back again. He's going to gather together those that are His own. And you know, as the Lord made that promise to us, He also said that we're to continue this practice that we're going to participate in just a moment until Jesus comes back again. 1 Corinthians 11:26, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He comes. And partaking of the Lord's Supper should remind us, brothers and sisters, not only of what Christ did for us, but it should remind us of the shortness of time. It should remind us this morning that Jesus Christ is coming again. And it should make us mindful of just how that we need to win souls. In other words, we need to tell people about Jesus. We need to tell them about what Jesus did for them. We need to tell them that they need to be saved. Times have changed a lot, isn't it? You don't hear many people walk up to somebody and start a conversation and then somewhere in that conversation say, have you been saved? Do you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior? You don't hear that much anymore. But the word, and I'm not saying you need to go out and do that today. What I'm saying is that we need to take the opportunities that God gives us, and we need to think about the shortness of time that the Lord is coming back. And here's the thing about it. If we don't care, who will? We need to care about the conditions of our lost loved ones, our unsaved loved ones. We need to care about the souls of our family and friends and the people we work with. And as we partake and remember what the Lord did for us, we need to think about what He told us to do, what we should do. Remember Him and what He did. It was for a purpose. There was a reason in it. And He's made you and I ambassadors. And we're to go forth and we're to share this glorious gospel with others. Did you witness? Did you give testimony to anyone this past week? The day is coming, the day of His appearing. I believe it's nearer than it ever has been before. 2 Corinthians 6:2 tells us, and I mentioned it earlier in the service, that today is the day of salvation. He said, for He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I pray that every time that we gather together for the Lord's Supper, every time that we gather together to participate in communion, I pray that it'll just spur your mind a little bit, that it'll ignite your mind about evangelism. I pray that the Lord's Supper will stir us. I pray that it will provoke us. I pray that it will incite us to not only commemorate, not only to celebrate, but to be moved to make sure that those people that are in our life that don't know Jesus have an opportunity to know Him. I wonder, brothers and sisters, will you tell somebody about Jesus before we get together for the next communion? I hope that we all will. I hope that this part of it we now have in our minds to say, you know what? There's more to do. I said this is a solemn and this is a serious time for our church, and it is. And but also I pray that the urgency of what Jesus did, you know, it was with purpose, it was with meaning. And it's all for naught if we don't continue to share that. And that's my message this morning, what we should do with the Lord's Supper, with communion. I'm going to ask my deacons if they would to come forward, and we will prepare to partake of the Lord's Supper. While they're coming, I want to say this. I want to express our custom in partaking of the Lord's Supper for those that may be here, that maybe this is the first time you're with us. Our church practices